Hello and welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. My name is Nkululeko Nkeu, and in this week's episode, we speak to SuperSport United coach Stuart Baxter. Lovely to speak to you. I've always been a great admirer of your work, I like your honesty in your interviews. Yesterday, you were very scathing in your assessment of the team against Free State Stars. What were your impression of how they implemented your vision on that game, the players?
No, it wasn't so much about implementing my vision. It's more of the doing the things that we work on day in and day out, and the things that they usually do. You know, so really when things go wrong, there are certain reasons. Now, no matter what you've planned, if you create a situation on the field where you're reacting and not acting, and you're making critical mistakes constantly, then the game will swing. And when the game swings like that, it doesn't suit us. It doesn't suit us at all. And so the whole of the first half was virtually a non-entity for us. And we were lucky to get away with going in at 0-0. After that, we tactically got the game back. We sort of took away what momentum Free State had in the first half. It became a more even game. But we didn't play with the quality that we do have. Now, is that a confidence thing? I wouldn't have thought so, because we were on such a good run. But for some reason, we didn't play with that quality. And therefore, we didn't pose a greater threat than we did. And therefore, you have to be satisfied with a 0-0.
Yeah, I was about to say, you alluded to the fact that you guys were lucky. I was about to ask that you feel that you were very fortunate, and how thankful, how grateful were you towards Riyad Peterson's performance, because it was man of the match as well yesterday.
You know, Riyad caught the eye with some good saves. I think you have to be honest. I think we trainers, you know, we can pull the wool over people's eyes left, right, and centre in an effort to look better than we really are. But I think sometimes it shows security in your own ability when you say that today we were not very good. Today, we were lucky in the first 45 minutes to go in 0-0 at half-time. You know, we didn't create enough to warrant me standing there afterwards and saying, well, we were unlucky or we could have stolen it. So I think then you've got to be honest and say that we got away cheaply on that one. So we'll take the point.
Yeah, I think it was refreshing, because you mentioned it in the post-match interview as well. It was quite refreshing to hear from you that you guys, you mentioned pulling wool over people's eyes now, and you mentioned spinning yesterday, that sometimes you speak and you spin things and portray a match as if it was a 50-50, whereas it was very skewed against you. I want to ask you something. Were you surprised by Free State Stars' intensity, considering the fact that they are in bad form and they are in a low league position?
Well, I'd probably be a bit disparaging if I said, yes, I am surprised, but I'm not really, because I think most teams in the league can give that sort of performance on the day. And I think what happened was that while we were playing poorly, we were creating more confidence in Free State. And then they sort of went for it. You know, they felt that we have a chance here. We've got to go for it. And in that mindset, they were succeeding and they were growing. And in our mindset, we were disappointed with ourselves, frustrated with ourselves, and becoming more on the back foot. So, no, I'm not surprised in that situation that Free State played the way they did. Was I happy about it? No, but not totally surprised, no. Because Sarami wants his teams to play, and he wants them to express themselves. And when they got that momentum, then it took until half time and us changing tactically to sort of draw their sting a little bit more.
Talking about halftime, you have a very good reputation of being a person that if your team is not doing well, you go to halftime. And I'll refer you back to your Kaizer Chiefs times, that when your team is not doing well at halftime, you are able to then bring about a positive vibe for the second half, and as a result, you get results in the second half. What is it that you do at halftime team talks that other managers are not doing? What is it about your halftime team talks?
I don't. Well, look, I'm not really in the business of giving other people advice and what they should or shouldn't do at halftime. But what I can tell you is what I've done at halftime. And again, I say this without giving away secrets, because I'm secure enough in myself, in my own ability to say, well, this is what we do. You know, if other people don't do that, that's up to them, if they've got their way. But we prepare maybe three or four different scenarios before the game. So I call them my what if scenarios. What if we're chasing the game? What if we have a man sent off? What if they have a man sent off? What if, you know, what if that player that we suspect could be dangerous, what if he's firing on all cylinders? You know, how do we stop that? So I think even experienced coaches need those what if scenarios, because just reacting from the bench when you're tense and you're stressed, you have to have a really, really good eye if you're just going to catch it. So most times it's you go to a what if scenario, but sometimes, yeah, you go with your gut feeling and you make a change or you don't make a change, or you fire the players up. You know, you think that they're doing okay, but they're not doing well enough, and you just need to fire them and point them in the right direction. So, you know, I think you've only got 5 minutes, so you've got to be sharp, and you can't waste time throwing teacups around and shouting and screaming, and then when the players walk out, you haven't told them anything. You know, so I think that's basically what we try to do. It's planning plus a little bit of inspiration.
Yeah. And how much is the involvement from the technical team when you're doing halftime team talks? Is it usually only you speaking, or do you allow the guys that you work with to be involved in those team talks?
No, we discuss it on the way in. Yeah, we'll discuss it on the bench. There's not enough time to have a consensus at half time. As I say, you know, the medics get around the players. I'll say after about 3 or 4 minutes when everybody's settled, medics, everybody okay? They'll say, yes, coach, I know I've got no injuries. Then I'll talk and I've got max 4 or 5 minutes. So you pick the 3 or 4 things that are going to impact, and you make sure you describe them well and clear. And Katana, Andre and myself, as we're walking in from the bench, we say, this is what we're going to go. This is what we're going to go for. We agree upon that, and then I deliver it.
All right. And I noticed that you have one of the strongest squads in terms of technique and experience in the PSL. At the moment, you're currently in fourth position. Is this the best position for you to launch an assault for the PSL title?
Difficult to say, isn't it? You know, there are many ways to win a championship, and Leicester City won it one way, and Kaiser Chiefs with me, they won it a different way. And, you know, I think it's a difficult one to know. I think everything until the last couple of games is just an interesting situation for the punters. You know, it's creating plenty of talk, but it doesn't really matter who's top of the league until the last couple of games. And then you know, to be there means something. You know, so until then, you know, we'll just do as well as we can. That wasn't planned yesterday, so I would have still liked to be in top of the league this morning. But, you know, as I say, it leads its own life, every championship. We've had a lot of injuries, you know, and the squad has battled with that. They've really done a good job covering for the injuries, and we've still got many injuries. So We've been battling with that, and the lads have done a really good job. You know, people have come in, I've changed formation sometimes, and sometimes players, and they've done a really good job. So they're going to need to continue to do that if we're going to keep ourselves in the mix.
Yeah. Would you consider not winning the league as a fail, or would you gladly accept the top four considering the competition in the PSL?
Look, this year, if SuperSport win the league this year, it'll be an outstanding achievement, given the fact that I've been at the club relatively short time, given the fact that we've had an absolute horrendous time with injuries, and the players have had to jump in and out of the team. So if you were to win the league this year, it would be an absolutely outstanding performance. So we're just hoping we can be heroes and not zeros.
And what are your continental ambitions? What are your continental competition ambitions? I noticed that last week you made a lot of squad rotation. You played a lot of young players. So what are your ambitions?
No, you have to. I mean, look at the schedule we've got. We've got a game every 3 days for 5 games. Now, I mean, you know yourself that no one can play every one of those 5 games unless I want to exacerbate the injury situation again. So we've got to rotate, and the squad with the injuries, the squad is not easy to rotate. So, you know, a couple of the kids have got to play, and we've got to try to tweak out the last drops from the squad at our disposal. And again, they've stood up really well. It wasn't a good performance in Madagascar, I didn't think. I thought we were okay, but I would have hoped to have gotten away goal. Not the case, and we've got to now with the players probably that have, like I put Brocky on last night for 45 and Tucson on for 45. They're coming back. They may be starting now and give them a little bit longer so that we can bring them back into PSL form. So yeah, you know, that's how we've got to work, and we're tap dancing a little bit, but we've got to be careful we don't fall in the sink.
All right, and I know this can be difficult for you to answer, but do you consider the CAF Confederations Cup as an inconvenience?
I've got every respect for every tournament that we play. I can't use the words inconvenience because that sounds very, very holier than thou, you know. I think the CAF tournament is a difficult challenge. I thought Sundowns got a bigger squad and a deeper squad. I thought Sundowns managed it superbly. Now, the minefield is the early stages. Because the early stages, and Sundowns also, you know, in the early stages, they did tread on a mine. They got back in through the hospital back door, so to speak. But they did a magnificent job to run out the whole tournament. And I think what we've got now is we've got to try and manage the early stages, because that's when the players, they don't see the finals in front of them, you know. You've got to get those early stages and have it imposing upon your league program and get through there. And once you're through there, a little bit of inspiration when you start seeing the latter stages coming up. And, hey, one more game and it's semi-final. Come on. You know, so you gain inspiration then, and that makes up for the inconvenience. But in the beginning, it is not an inconvenience, but it certainly is a serious challenge.
And moving on to a different topic altogether, but still talking about the league, Coach Gavin Hunt of Bidvest mentioned recently that there's a decline in intelligence from our players and a lack of interest, particularly the modern generation of players in football. Footballers themselves, you find them not watching football, not interested in anything that has to do with football. How would you, in comparison to the Scandinavians where you've worked and the Japanese and the Brits, how much would you rate South African young adults which you work with as professional footballers?
I think they're serious about the job, most of them. I think it's a global thing. I think it's social, and if you think about young footballers today with young footballers of 20 years ago, they were more team orientated. They enjoyed the we and not so much the me. And now, you know, you have your Game Boy and you have your freestyle and it's all individual. And it's a little bit more what's in it for me. And therefore, there are other things to occupy my time, and I'm not too sure I want to go and watch the reserve team play. Now, you know, late before, people did that. And so Gavin's right. There is a diluting of that we feeling. It's not as easy to get people into that we thinking, and it's not as easy to get people to fall in love with the game the way it was 20 years ago. You know, people were in love with football, and it's not only us. I think the French FA did a survey which quite shockingly threw up that the profiling of the players, it told them that at least 60% weren't really you can't say they didn't like football, but they weren't interested in football.
It's not something that they would go out of their way to watch.
No, I mean, what interested them was the Rolex watches and the nice cars and the cute babes they can have on their arm and the pension funds. But the actual game and working hard after training and going to watch a game down the road and going to watch your little brother play on the Sunday morning, forget about it. I would rather do something else.
Would you say that disinterest or that level of or the lack of interest directly leads to them being lesser of players or lesser of performers because they're not really interested. They don't watch their peers playing.
Well, I like words like commitment. I like words like inspiration and motivation. And I think many coaches like those sort of words as well, you know. And I would question the commitment, the total commitment. Is this boy a warrior? Is he a soldier that will go in there and he'll work and he'll sacrifice a small part of himself for the good of the team? I would question that you are if you don't actually love the game, you know? If you don't enjoy playing but you enjoy the rewards, then I would question your commitment and your loyalty and your desire to be the best that you can be, you know? So I would say it's very difficult.
All right. Your bosses, Mr. Kulo Sibiya and Mr. Stan Matthews, were very quick to dispel the links between you and the Bafana Bafana job that you know is vacant. What was your take on that? Did it give you confidence that these people want you at the club?
That's always nice. It's always nice. I think, look, there are many other jobs that are interesting jobs, but you have to first say, are you happy in the job you're in? And the answer to that is, yes, I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy at SuperSport. So therefore, there may be speculation about 10 jobs, but it only comes into place if you're not happy with your present employment, you know, and that's what my situation is. It's very nice, and those jobs are interesting jobs, but I'm happy where I am.
And you don't foresee yourself moving in the next 12 months or so?
I certainly don't see myself moving. Not unless they don't want me here. If they don't want me here, then I'll look for another job. But until then, it'll remain a little bit of interesting speculation for people. That's all.
All right. And then it's been 7 years, I noticed, since your last national job as the coach of Finland. Do you still find national team coaching as appealing?
Yes, I do in one way, because it is, every game is massively important. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's more demanding in terms of preparation. You don't get the preparation time. And no, you don't have the same impact in terms of organisation that you would when you're a club coach. And you can't buy and sell players. You know, the ones that are your nationality, those are the ones you get. So in some ways it's challenging, but in many ways it's rewarding. You know, I mean, to stand and sing the South African national anthem in Los Angeles and then go out and beat Mexico in front of 62,000 Mexicans, as I did when I was the Bafana coach, that's massively rewarding. To stand and draw 1-1 with Germany in a World Cup qualifier in Hamburg as the Finnish national coach with only 5 million people in the country is massively rewarding. Those are sorts of moments that you maybe experience a couple of times in your whole career as a club coach. So yes there are attractions, but I'm a coach and I want to build, and therefore a club job is a more gratifying experience on a daily basis.
Yeah, let's talk about Bafana a little bit. I think that at this point, reading from the media reactions and people who have played football before and what they've been saying about Bafana, there is a suggestion. One suggestion is that at the moment, the problem doesn't seem to be coaching per se, but players and the lack of development. And then there is another suggestion on the contrary to say that if we get the best coach possible, British people or the British media refer it to the best gun for hire. Coaches like Eddie Jones, for example, in rugby, you know that he's going to deliver something if you get them. What do you think? Where do you think we are now? Is it the players and the lack of development, or is it us just needing that one coach that is going to give us that AFCON?
I think you've got to take a very holistic view on the whole thing. I think the problem that we're having is that we've all got to be on the same page. You know, you can't, it depends. Do you want the remit of the coach to come in and to win his next game? If that's the case, you bring in an Eddie Jones. You get a coach that's got a reputation of being able to get the best out of the material and then give him the job, pay him a lot of money. because don't expect him to get involved in the development of the game. Don't expect him to get involved in coach education. He doesn't have time, because you've told him, you beat Marley and you're a good coach. You lose to Marley, you're a bad coach. You know, so if that's the remit of the coach, then let's narrow it down. Let's say it as it is. That's the remit. No one is happy if you don't win the games. Or you take a bigger approach, a holistic approach, and look at advancing the game and making sure that we can then make Football South Africa a conveyor belt of talent that will finish in a senior national team designed the way we want it, to reflect South African values, South African interests, and still win the games of football. But that needs development. Then you need to look at talent identification, youth development programs, coach education. You need to look at the cooperation between PSL, SAFA, the clubs. You need to look at the workshops being done by national coaches. And you need to make sure that the whole country is behind that program. Now, if that's the case, don't be up in arms if you play a developmental team against Swaziland and draw 1-1. Because that is a part of the big picture, producing the players, giving them the experience to one day make South Africa proud. Now, I think we all have to, and I think maybe some of the experienced players have alluded to that. And I think many voices, I said it, I think Carlos said it, and it's been said at different times, but we've never really sat down and pulled it all together, because there's still different interests at different places. We've never found that real common ground that will be so fertile that South Africa become a powerhouse again. And I think that for me would be the argument. What do you want? Do you want that one or do you want that one? But we have to be very clear on what we want.
Yeah, I think on the back of the last few sentences, with what you've just been saying now, do you think that the association has the appetite to be patient to one coach for the next 6 years? Do you think that they are capable of doing that?
I think that's by the by. If the association, if SAFA said yes, that would only last as long as they've got the buy-in of all the stakeholders, of the clubs, the crowd, you know, the population, the sponsors, they've got to get that buy-in, because otherwise people will be working in different directions, which is exactly what's been happening over the last 10 years. You know, we've been pulling in different directions. We're never getting the best out of what we've got. And at some point the levy breaks and then we start all over again. You know, when are we going to get tired of doing that? We've all got to get on the same page. We've all got to be seeing the same vision. We've all got to get on the same page. Simple as that.
All right. Coach, like I said, I value the interaction with you. I always value your opinions whenever I hear you on the media. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Hope you enjoyed the show with Coach Stuart Baxter. My name is Nkululeko Ngewu. Catch you on another episode of Soccer Ladrumah Radio.